BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and Roshan Kanisan. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday the 31st of December. And guys, it's the last day, the very, very last day of 2019. How has this day, the year, been treating you so far?
Crazy year for me. But of course, whether it's last day or first day, I think it's just another day, right?
Not really. I mean,
sorry to throw cold water on that.
I know. I just feel my bubble has been burst quite neatly by that. No, but it's you know, it's the last day of the of a decade as well. So it's kind of
it
cool,
is
isn't
now
it?
That you put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it like Jules is right. It is any other day, but I guess we attach the value and the meaning we want to each and every other day. But the year's been good. It's been very busy. It's been a lot of progress has been made in life. But then again, I'm coming from a low base effect, so maybe that's just me.
Low base effect.
But I mean, it is Lynn. It is the end of the decade, as you were pointing out too, and it's been an interesting 10 years. I mean, externally we can look at the rise of populism and all of that jazz, but internally. I mean, I had a few big milestones. We had two elections, two mm-hmm. really big elections, one a bit happier than the other one. And since then, we've been a bit more dour about the state of politics in the country. But I guess that's the ongoing progress, right? Jules, like you were saying, it's every day. It's like you never end anything. You just keep going in progress and hopefully you maintain some sort of a upward trajectory in life. Yeah. But we'll be talking about what the 2010s taught each of us, and maybe you out there in the last 10 years. That will be after 6:30.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you're in the business of making resolutions, which I'm not, and we're going to discuss how you can keep the momentum of keeping to your resolutions.
All right, and if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Right after this, though, we are going to be talking about people unlike Jules who actually do make resolutions and some secrets of how they keep them. Be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Roshan. Now, if you are the kind of person that makes resolutions, and chances are, you know, sometimes you find it a little bit hard to actually keep them. So Fast Company has this article that looks at the 6 secrets, or basically tips and tricks, really, of people who actually keep their New Year's resolutions. And they found people who've kept these resolutions for 3 years, 5 years, even 10 years.
That's amazing.
It really is. And they've asked them, you know, what are the small things they do to help them keep these resolutions in mind? And it's just little things like maybe writing down the resolution every day physically in a journal or on a piece of paper, or even just making sure that these changes are not like big ones, are not huge, you know, oh, I'm going to achieve this, this, this. It's I'm going to make one small improvement in my life every single day.
Yeah, so even though I'm sort of against resolutions, I'm actually not against the idea of having goals for yourself because I guess the new year is a time of renewal, and that's when everyone is so hyped up about you know, doing something new and making ambitious new goals. But I think that we should always, whether it's a new year or not, just be contemplative about what we want out of life, right? And these are some of the measures that can help us keep to it. Like this first one that's being recommended, you got to revolve around small changes. You got to start small, right? If it's too big, it becomes a psychological barrier for you to even actually do that thing. But if you start small, then that achievement of that small thing would at least give you some momentum to move forward.
Yeah, no, I actually completely agree with the first one. So I lie somewhere in between. I believe in the power of resolutions as just direction, you know, because if you have a resolution like, oh, I'm going to be fit this year, what does that really mean? You got to have a system underlying that provides you the backing to that goal, because a lot of times I feel that we make these very big goals without having track to get there, and that's why we never succeed in these goals. Starting small is a great way. If you just do 1% a day or improve every single day, if that's your resolution, you can start really small. Improving today can mean making your bed, and then from tomorrow it can be making your bed and cleaning the floor of your room before you head out for work. And slowly you build upon each other, but that underlying thing is you got to build a system that works for you. And then as every quarter, every month, every year goes by, you can then tweak your goals to reflect the current situation. But I think the most important thing is to realize that you're bound to fail. It's going to happen. One day you're going to forget to make your bed because you woke up late. That's not a reason to scrap everything, right? You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I fail every day, actually. You know, all these grand plans.
Yeah.
They never materialize every day.
Yeah, you don't have to jump the gun, but I know we're going to talk about what the 2010s taught us in a little while. The 2010s taught me about failure. I think it's the most important thing I've learned, that life is a series of points on a graph, right? Some are better than the previous one. And your hope is that you form a line of best fit that goes upward. It's like the economic cycle. Right now, we are at an all-time high, but it didn't get here in a linear fashion. It went up and down. And that's, I think, what the 2010s have taught me the most.
Yeah, it's being able to push through failure. It's being able to get up and go again, even if you forget to do something one day or you don't meet your target for, say, the first quarter. So another tip that I quite liked out of this article was basically quantifying what it is that you want to do and maybe adding some zeros to it. So it's difficult to say, okay, you know, your resolution for 2020 is to get fitter. That in itself, it's like, how do you get there? It's a little bit like what you were talking about, Roshan, right? Because you set this goal without setting yourself a track to actually achieve it. So one of the suggestions is, say, if your goal is to get fitter, rather than writing that down, write, I will go to the gym 1,000 times in 2020. Or something along those lines. Okay, 1,000 times would be harder, but that would be like three times a day.
That's ambitious. That's a moonshot right there.
That's a bit of a moonshot. But say 100 times. That's once every 3 days.
Yeah.
And maybe it gives you a little bit of wiggle room as well, because you could, if you have time, 2 days in a row, you go 2 days in a row. And it allows you to just kind of check things off the list on a daily or three times a week basis.
Yeah, and I think that ties in very well with the other tip to write these resolutions every day, or at least be aware and conscious of it, whether it's waking up every day and just saying it out loud, or writing it in your journal, or just being looking at the list and checking it twice. Sorry,
we're way past Christmas already.
I know, but I just can't help say that.
People are starting to put up the Chinese New Year decorations.
I mean, it's only in 4 weeks. Crazy. But, you know, just having that awareness about what you want and where you're going. So once you've written that down, it all ties in quite nicely to each other. But you also need to, why, right? Why are you getting fitter?
Do you guys remember that bullet journaling trend that was going on a while back, mm-hmm. right? So it started with bullet journaling, where you list down everything you want to do in the journal and then put it into your calendar. And then later on, it evolved to some recommendations where they ask you to, no, don't do a bullet journal of what you want to do. Like, just put what you want to do directly into your calendar. Like, if I want to get fit, and I want to go to the gym 100 times a year, you know, put that gym visit in, schedule it into your calendar. And that's a good way actually of not only reminding yourself, but it's actually making an appointment with yourself to do that very thing.
Yeah, and it's essentially automating as much as possible and trying to reduce the risk of failure, because you are going to fail, you are going to forget. So, you know, take advantage of technology and the fact that technology can remind you a day before you're supposed to go to the gym that you have to go to the gym tomorrow. It's things like that that actually will smoothen the process, I think, and overall, I guess, help you to achieve at least one of your 2020 New Year's resolutions. But do let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. If you have any tips or tricks to share on how to keep your New Year's resolutions, do let us know what they are. Right now, we're heading into a few messages, and then we'll be continuing the conversation about resolutions, asking how do we keep that momentum going forward. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was I Follow You by Melody's Echo Chamber, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Roshan. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, whenever the subject of resolutions comes up, I do have the moment of, did I make any resolutions for 2019? I don't even remember. And so clearly what I have failed to do is I've failed to keep the momentum going on the resolutions that I did make at the start of the year. So we're taking a look at another article that actually talks about this, that, you know, it gives you a few, well, just a two kind of ways to actually keep that momentum going, keep yourself basically accountable as you attempt to achieve your resolutions. And one of those is actually, and they've put it as finding the extrinsic motivation. So that could be finding someone to take the, take you under their wing in order to actually keep you accountable, like for, like the resolution version of a gym buddy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I feel about this. I mean, really opening up your heart to somebody so that they can keep tabs on you, right? It's not easy to do, actually. And it takes a lot of work. I mean, to tell this person as well. And this person has to buy into the idea of keeping tabs on you as well. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I think it's interesting because I've found that just talking it out with someone, whether it's your friend, your parents, your some of your colleagues also, that just talking it out with them can clarify the goal, can keep you motivated. Because I think the worst thing when it comes to a goal or any type of progress is feeling you're stuck. And that can happen if you're in your own head. Sometimes you just don't realize that there are ways out that you can't see. And sometimes you need an external a pair of eyes to see that, because I've been stuck in things and I feel like I need to do this myself and all of that jazz. But sometimes you just need to put that ego aside. It's also very vulnerable, very vulnerable, right? Because you're opening yourself up to someone else, and that's not always the easiest thing to do. So but it can help you in your goals. And also just having a cheerleader on the side that, you know, help, that encourages you to keep doing your things on the same, and the same breath, you do need someone to keep you real. Someone who's going to criticize the holes in your plan.
Or even it's someone who will just say that, okay, I think that's being a little bit too ambitious. Why don't you dial it down a notch and try that instead?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, so I've found that one of the easiest paths to failure for me when it came to resolutions was not telling anyone about them, because it gave myself the excuse to kind of change them in my head and say that, oh, you know, it's a little bit too hard today. I don't think I'll do it today. And then after a while, you fall out of the habit. But when I actually started sharing a few of my resolutions with people close to me or people with whom I interacted every day, sometimes those people would help to remember the resolutions for me and keep them present in the day in the daily or the weekly conversation. It's just like saying someone sees, you know, you pick up that extra bar of chocolate and say, hey, you know, you said you would be eating less chocolate in 2020. It's like, okay, I'll put it down now. It's things like that, you know, where it's just having people who care about you, who will do whatever, you know, small way, whatever they can to help to keep you accountable.
So what kind of goals do you guys have for 2020? If I may ask that. Now you're feeling vulnerable. You got to expose yourself.
No, I actually spoke about this yesterday with Xiaoning. So we outed ourselves on air on our resolutions. And I said very clearly, you know, I'm going to try and go to the gym twice a week.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I've made myself accountable to all of our listeners, including and everyone in studio.
All
with
the
me.
Millions of listeners that we have at 6 a.m.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, if I don't make it to the gym twice a week, or you see me, or you don't see me with my gym bag for more than a week at a time, you can say, I give you full permission, Julian, to say, Lynn, have you, you know, kept up with your 2020 resolutions? Okay. I won't be mad.
Yeah, maybe you can do little exercises instead of going to the gym, right? Here's an idea, right? You know, just keep two dumbbells beside you. I mean, I don't mean the human ones, like the actual dumbbells, and do some reps while in between actual work. I mean, that might constitute like part of going to the gym.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I don't make it to the gym, then it would be things like running up a flight of stairs, maybe,
yes.
or you know, jogging on the spot or something, you know, yeah. Just basically to keep active. Because the problem is that we work in a very sedentary sort of line, right? And I don't really like to be sitting in one spot all day.
Yeah, mine's actually very simple. I've already started it. It is no snooze or wake up within 8 minutes of first alarm every morning. And I actually have a habit tracker to track this. And so far, so good. It's been 2 weeks and I want to carry this on for 2020. And also making my bed every morning. Because yes, folks, I'm not the person who used to do that. But I hope to be the person that does from now onwards.
I'd love to see the progress of that goal.
Well, do let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. How are you creating momentum to accomplish your goals as we head into 2020? Right now, though, we are heading into the 6:30 news. But first, here is Better Things by The Kinks, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Patience by Tame Impala, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng, and Roshan Kanisan. Now, we've done a bit of a look forward so far this morning by talking about what resolutions, you know, we have, or that what tips and tricks to actually keeping your resolutions going into the new year. But also, you know, this is usually at the end of a decade, it's usually kind of a time for reflection as well. And there's this article in the Financial Times written by a journalist who is, it's basically looking back at what the 2010s have taught him. You know, where was he 10 years ago? You know, how are his opinions different? And how has he grown as a person since then, both on a career front as well as on a personal front? And it's quite an interesting read. And it just kind of gets you thinking, right? You know, where were you at in 2010? You know, both from a, not just from a career perspective, but perhaps also from a personal one.
I think in 2010, I was just at the end of my personal break, because that was after the global financial crisis, which you all know caused turmoil in the world, and really is something that marked the decade, right? That financial crisis resulted in a lot of policies that would affect the decade to come. And after that, I just started a new job as a fund manager, and that was very eye-opening. And I think it formed the basis of my beliefs and philosophies in the investing world. I believe in low-cost investing right now and passive investing. So that formed my thinking in investing. Actually,
Your beliefs were in line with the rise of ETFs, I guess. The last decade has
it
been
was,
the decade.
It was, coincidentally, yeah.
I think, so if we look back 10 years, my 2010s, this decade didn't start off too great as well, because I had fallen sick, I had to drop out from college at the point, and I was basically restarting college and all that back here. And that was the first time I really failed at anything. And, you know, in school, I was more of like always gung-ho, always getting whatever I could get. And this was the first time I had dealt with real failure. And that's what the last 10 years has taught me, that failure is inevitable. But you have to build systems. And I think we talked about this earlier, that life is essentially a series of ups and downs, right? And all you can hope is that over time, you build a line of best fit that is upward trending. Because a loss today, sometimes we overprice in the wins and the losses that we have. Sometimes we have one good day and we're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Life is great. And then the next day, you're like, oh my God, life is terrible. You know, it's life lies somewhere in between. Or at least that's what I've learned over the last 10 years. And sure, there were bad years and sure, there were great years. But overall, 2010s were good, I think.
That's good. Yeah.
And nothing to do with the cheap and easy credit that the Fed has been providing the rest of us.
Well, you should take advantage of some of that.
Absolutely. So where I was in 2010s, okay, I was also still in school. And that just shows how young I am. But really, I think the most notable change over the past decade has been my awareness of politics and how much it matters. Because in 2010, I still remember, I was very apathetic, particularly about the Malaysian political situation. I was very interested in politics. I was... I was the kind of kid that I was a model UN child, and I went on to do a politics degree in university. So I was very interested in international politics. But on the local front, I was very much the person that was like, oh yeah, you know, why bother to vote? Why bother to get involved? Because nothing's going to change. And since then, I think, compared to 2010, I've come quite a long way, because through experience and through working and through seeing GE14 happen, that kind of made me let go of some of my cynicism that actually, you know, if you get involved, if you talk about things and if you go out and vote, even if your vote is, you know, just one vote, you can actually make a difference. So that it's been kind of a decade of kind of the return of idealism for me.
Yeah, and I think in terms of politics, we saw that again, I'm going to bring my line of best fit here, because we saw changes since Badawi was in charge. People became more active. The Barisan Nasional started losing votes, and they lost it 2/3, never got it back. And then we had GE12, GE13, which was, GE13 was a bit more, I think was disheartening for a lot of people, because I think they expected that change, but there was improvement across the board. And then we had GE14. That was, again, over time, change was made. Change is not something that happens overnight. And the last decade is, I think, maybe shown a bit of hope there. But on that same note, that doesn't mean we rest on our laurels now, right? We just, government has changed, like, that's it, case is over. No, there's still a lot that needs to be done. The government still has a lot that they haven't done. We still don't have the involvement of parliaments, how our voting reforms are going to be looking like. The next decade is going to be all about how we shape the Malaysia going forward.
Very big ideas. Very, very big ideas.
Indeed. But even a larger effort to push them through, I think. But do tell us what the 2010s taught you. You can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, we're heading into a few messages, and then we'll be taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was If You Want My Love by Cheap Trick. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Roshan. Now, thank you very much for your messages this morning. We've had a couple of tweets. Ramli Sirup has said in response to our conversations about resolutions, why must everyone's New Year's resolutions be so goody-two-shoes? You know, going to the gym, getting organized. His is to eat more chendol, and he's already started this weekend.
Nice.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
Ramli, it's because we're already eating enough chendol. I think some of us need to cut down.
You can never eat too much chendol.
But, you know, he's got a point there. Sometimes resolutions can be about the fun stuff, like watching a movie a week just to enjoy that. Because I think in this the last 10 years has also been about, I think we've heard burnout more than ever mm-hmm. before.
Mm-hmm. Mental health
yeah. is a big thing. So maybe I'm going to add something fun to my resolutions. I haven't decided what yet, but I will. My resolution for 2019 is to find a resolution for 2020 that's fun.
Yes, very meta.
Indeed. So thank you very much for that, Ramli. And so we've also got a couple of WhatsApps. What do we have, Julian?
Ro, thank you, Ro, for... actually, we got to thank Ro because, you know, he's very diligent. He writes in every day and we love hearing from you. And he says this morning, if you're going to write, must go to gym 1,000 times. Why would you still need to go to the gym? That's a workout in itself. Thank you very much for that observation.
I think there's a bit of miscommunication there. I think it's not must go to gym and write it 1,000 times. It's I will go to the gym 1,000 times. But I can see how that mix-up could have happened. Can you imagine writing must go to a gym 1,000 times?
No, this is relating to that call that you got to renew your resolution every day by mm-hmm. writing it down, right?
Yeah.
So if you wrote that down every day, that's at least 365 times a year.
I'm just thinking about the Simpsons opening credits scene where Bart Simpson is writing on the board something.
Yes.
They always change it, right?
Yeah, it's a popular detention tactic.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that's 1,000 times.
Yeah,
and look what it did
this,
to our students, right? They never listen, right? They still go back and do the same thing.
Yeah, now talking about, well, not listening to things. I've got the NST in front of us, and the headline here is smoking enforcement. Are we ready? Because I think there's a lot of concern about whether enforcement is going to be up to scratch, because there are a lot of people who aren't listening to the rule, and it's enforced. It starts tomorrow. And I'm really hoping that the health ministry and the enforcement officers are up to task for this, because this is, I think, one of my favorite policies from the government at this point. And this is going to be a landmark thing, because if they don't enforce this is, it kind of shows you it's the litmus test for their level of enforcement going forward.
Yeah.
That's my personal view of it anyway. So let's see whether they dole out the punishments and the summonses, because they've given a year's grace period after it was supposed to be only be 6 months. So this is something we're going to be covering throughout 2020, I think, just to see how, keep tabs on how that's doing. But before we move on to the other papers, I want to, on the back page the NSD Sports, it is brilliant 2019 to glorious 2020. This is about Liverpool. And for the record, I'm an Arsenal fan, and I want to give credit to, I mean, a fantastic 2019. I mean, Liverpool have ended the year 13 points on top of the rest of the teams. They've won 18 out of 19 matches this season, only drawing once. They're unbeaten so far. I really hope they lose one as an Arsenal fan, but they've won the Champions League. They've won the World Club League. It's quite an astounding season, and they're playing phenomenal football. And again, I'm not being salty or anything like that, but
you got to ask him how they keep to their resolution.
They're playing phenomenally well, and
lot of momentum there
and consistency. The rest of the football teams look that they're throwing the league away. But anyway.
Okay, and what else?
And for
do
more
we
sports
have?
News, you can watch our sports program. Okay, from the Malaysian Reserve, two very interesting headlines. First one is the ringgit and CPO may bounce back in 2020, I suppose, but not the equity market. That's according to Sunway University Business School economist Dr. Ya Kim Ling. He said that notably the US-China phase one deal and Brexit uncertainty following the decisive UK elections have contributed to the strength of the ringgit. Now, the other interesting headline is that the petrol subsidy program might be postponed, I think, due to administrative arrangements for this, which is proving to be quite challenging because you're supposed to get a card for that. And this is a targeted subsidy. If you're rich, you're not supposed to get the subsidized petrol.
Yeah, and that's also on page two of the Star. Fuel subsidy plan on hold, alongside the fact that Malaysia is going to be continuing improving assistance for refugees. The Star's front page have gone with the headline, Locking Horns Over Lodgings. So this is talking about the fierce competition between hotels and Airbnb as we head into Visit Malaysia year 2020. And that's all that we have for you from the papers, because we're heading into the 7 o'clock news. After that, we'll be bringing you the business end of the morning run. But first, in a celebration of the fact that this is the last day of 2019, here's Next Year by Foo Fighters, BFM 89.9.